In confusion and uncertainty, there emerges a guiding light, a beacon that cuts through the darkness. Welcome to Beacon of Truth with your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Beacon of Truth. I'm your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, and you're listening on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Great to be here with you today. It's Wednesday. You know what that means. Word of God Wednesday today on Beacon of Truth. We're breaking open God's Word for Sunday, which, well, I guess in most dioceses of the United States, that'll be the Ascension, although technically it's tomorrow. It's Ascension Thursday is traditional, but this solemnity are one of those that the bishops of the United States have decided to move it to Sunday. So from Thursday, which is traditionally Ascension, which is 40 days after Easter, to Sunday, because it's a holy day of obligation. It's one of the ones that are movable. There's some, of course, that are not movable, such as Christmas and Easter. You can't move those no matter what day. Easter is always on Sunday, but no matter what day Christmas falls on, you can't move that one. You know, so, but some of them are movable, or some of them, depending on what day they fall on, are not holy days of obligation. For example, Immaculate Conception or the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary, depending if it's on a Friday or a Monday, that kind of thing. Although I think this past year, the Vatican has said that actually the Assumption is not movable, but, anyway, regardless, we're going to be, breaking open God's Word. We're going to be breaking open God's Word for the readings for this Sunday, which is the feast of the phone
just went off like a 911 call or something like that. So I don't know what's going on with that. But anyway, so we're going to be breaking open God's Word today for the Ascension, which is going to be Ascension Thursday, but we're going to celebrate it on Sunday. And would love to hear from you. We're going to talk about the Ascension, Christ rising to new life, and evangelization. You know, because you look at the readings from Matthew 28, Jesus goes up to heaven and he leaves us the message to go and make disciples. And so we are called to witness to the power of our faith. So Christ rises so he can send us the Holy Spirit so we can be witnesses of his love to the world. So the beautiful connection with the Ascension, Christ rising, and evangelization, how he empowers us to share our faith. That's what we're talking about today. And of course, we'd love to hear from you. Give us a call, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Outside of North America, dial 1, then 205-271-2985. You can also email us at beacon@ew10.com. And now you can text your question or your comment to 1-833-288-EWTN. That's 1-833-288-3986. Just give us your first name, how you're listening, followed by your brief question. Remember that message and data rates may apply. All right. So today is also an awesome day because it's the feast of the Ascension. The feast of Our Lady of Fatima today on the 13th of May. Today we celebrate Our Lady of Fatima, and like all the approved apparitions of our Blessed Mother, leads us to a faithful moves her faith, her sons and daughters closer to Jesus. You know, our Lord states clearly and unambiguously that he is the one God. He says, if you don't believe me, then believe the works that I do. They testify to me. He said that people will not believe him because they are not among his sheep. And so Our Lady then appears, of course, we all know the story of appears to the three visionaries, the three shepherd children. And Sister Lucia, one of them became a nun, Sister Lucia, the one who lived the longest out of all of them and actually met St. John Paul II, once said, "It is sad that so many people let themselves be dominated by a diabolical wave sweeping over the world." That's the false shepherds of moral relativism, the so-called redefinition of
marriage and gender, religious intolerance, the list can go on and on. They are blinded to the point where they are incapable of seeing error. You know, so that's one thing Sister Lucia said. You know, the saddest part of all, according again to Sister Lucia, is that so many priests, religious, and bishops are, and those who are leaders in the church have often been swept away in that confusion. And she says that the devil has succeeded in bringing evil into the church under the guise of good, and the blind are leading the blind. So, you know, a very interesting comments by Sister Lucia, you know, a very powerful words from her that really should really speak to the core of our relationship with Christ. You know, we should always be striving to not follow the ways of the world, but to follow the ways of Jesus. So, and if you've ever been to Fatima, it's absolutely beautiful place. So I hope that if you ever get a chance to go on pilgrimage, head over to Fatima. It's absolutely beautiful. One of my favorite places, Marian Shrines in the whole world. And if you, I'm sure EW10 has some coverage of what's going on there at Fatima. So that would be absolutely awesome if you're able to get over there and to visit the shrine there and to visit the beautiful church there. Well, there's a couple of different churches, but the one I'm thinking of is the one on the one end, which is absolutely a beautiful, gorgeous church. You know, and again, our lady always draws us closer to the Son, to her Son, and to His most sacred heart. You know, and that's really the power of her when she comes to visit. And the message that she gives us are messages of hope, messages of love, messages of encouragement, and messages that challenge us. You know, that don't forget, like, you know, don't get so caught up in the world that we forget who we are. Especially who we are in Christ. So Fatima, very important. Although actually in the church calendar, it's like an optional memorial because we have so many other major feasts of the Blessed Mother, you know. But this one, I think, is an important one. So when I prayed the office this morning, I actually prayed the option, you know, using the comments of the Blessed Virgin Mary today. And so, again, would love for you to call today. Where it's Word of God Wednesday, break open God's Word for the Ascension, which I know is technically it's tomorrow, but is in the United States and many places has moved it, transferred it to Sunday. So we're going to break open God's Word for Ascension Sunday. And of course, we'd love to hear from you because the connection is going to be about evangelization and the risen Christ, right? It's very, very powerful. So give us a call today. We'd love to hear from you. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. You know, what's not confusing today is the people who bring to this show every day, who I enjoy working with, Matt Gabinski, who'll be screening your calls today, Michael McCall and Pedro Quiles helping us out on social media, and the one and only Ace McKay, our producer. Ace, how you doing?
I'm good, man. So I have a question. This actually sparked my daughter, Lennon, getting married in June, and she's planning entry songs. So the wedding party, as they're introduced, she's asking them, what song do you want played? Which, of course, you know, whether you're a baseball player, wrestler, like whatever, like at some point, maybe you've had an introductory song. So I want to ask you for your introductions, when you're on stage, when people, you know, announce you at events, what should your theme song be?
Oh, that's a good question. Well, the kind of events I speak at, you know, that wouldn't really be a thing. But if it were like a secular event, I have to think about that. There's so many good songs I'd love to kind of walk out to, you know, and get pumped up about. You know, probably, I don't know, probably something rocking from Van Halen or something like that, or I don't know, maybe the introduction to Crazy Train.
Oh,
you know, by Ozzy. I love that riff, you know. It's just so many could be. That's how about for you?
Well, so since I'm not in the wedding party, I don't have to choose, but my go-to on most of them is usually either Feeling Stronger Every Day by Chicago or Feel Invincible by Skillet. So for those Skillet heads, you know who you are and the power of that drive, that da-da-da-da-da-da. Like, it's got kind of a very metal, you know, feel to it. But I did help my daughter McCartney pick hers. She's like, Dad, I have no idea. What's my song? And I go, Uptown Funk. And she was like, yes. And so she was like, she's like, I don't know how you came up with it so quickly. And I was like, easy. I was like, that's the song that we used to jam to in the car when you go to the carpool lane. She's like, I do remember that. So it was cool to at least help her pick hers. But my daughter Mia refuses. She's just trying to get through finals. And then she's like, I will come up with something. But right now I can't think about music.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, well, she's got a lot of other things to think about.
Though, yeah, so. Exactly.
Oh, awesome. Love that. All right, my friends, Word of God Wednesday. Grab your Bibles and break open God's Word for the readings for this Sunday, which is the transferred solemnity of the ascension of our Lord. A great connection between the Lord's rising and evangelization witnessing to our faith. Would love to hear from you today. 833-288-EW10, 833-288-3986. Up the vibe from yesterday.
That's right.
A little bit of that 50s, little retro going on there, early 60s.
Yeah, it's like there's something about like the surfing music of the 60s that just like it has a sound all its own, like nothing else. I mean, maybe it's sampled, I guess, is about the closest you get, but like just has a very unique guitar sound, the Hammond B on top of it, you know.
Yeah.
Beach Boys, nice. Doors, all that kind of stuff.
Yep. And I love real instrumentation, too. You know?
Yeah.
You can have your little synth sounds there, but at least the rest of the instruments are, you know, it's not like a bass synth along with it as well and that kind of thing. It's just the blend of all them together sound really cool.
And bands trying to push the envelope with, like, six-minute arrangements and edit that down if you want anybody to play it on the radio.
Yeah, I remember when Bohemian Rhapsody came out. You're like, it's so long. It's like, no one's going to play this. It's too long. Mm-hmm. You have to do the radio edit version or something. But that goes to show, you know, like Stairway to Heaven, another one, you know, there's longer songs. And people are willing to listen to something longer if the song is awesome.
Yeah. And as a former DJ, we appreciate it for the bathroom songs. So, you know, you need a Stairway to Heaven just because, you know, the bathroom's at the other end of the building.
Yeah, there you go.
It was a real struggle, I tell you.
Yeah, very good. I'm Deacon Hal Burke-Sivers, listening to Beacon of Truth, and today is Word of God Wednesday. Break it up in God's Word for the Ascension, the readings for this Sunday. I know technically the Ascension is tomorrow, and I'm sure in some places in the United States, some dioceses will be celebrated tomorrow, but for most places, it's a transferred solemnity to Sunday. So we're going to be treating the Ascension as if it were happening on Sunday. So we're going to be breaking open God's Word for the readings for this Sunday. And it's really awesome readings because it shows that the connection between the Ascension and evangelization. How, you know, God left, you know, he ascended to the Father, but he still left work for us to do. And he gave us the Spirit to help us to do that work. To share our faith, to witness to the power of God's love. Would love to hear how you do that today. And give us a call, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
Of course, if you are watching us on YouTube today or you get a chance to maybe catch some of our shorts, make sure you subscribe to EWTN Radio. That way you can catch up on shows. You can watch and stream anytime 24/7. But then, of course, in that, we also love being able to stay connected. It's videos you can share, things that can definitely speak right to the heart of where you are with God. So check us out. If you haven't checked us out on YouTube as well, now's a good time to do that. Subscribe so that way you don't miss future episodes and check us out on YouTube today with EWTN Radio.
All right. Well, since this is Word of God Wednesday, we're celebrating the Ascension on Sunday. So the readings will be for the Ascension for this Sunday. And let's take a look at the readings really quick. So the first reading is from Acts of the Apostles. All right. So Acts of the Apostles. It's actually the very start, the very beginning of the Acts of the Apostles. And so he says, in the first book, Theophilus, and so we know right away that Luke, the gospel writer Luke, is also the writer of Acts of the Apostles. And he, first of all, he says Theophilus, which means lover of God. I mean, there's not a person named Theophilus. He's talking about the faithful who are receiving his message, receiving his word. And he said in the first book, which was Luke, and so in his mind, this is kind of like a part two. All right. So Luke wrote the first, the gospel, and now this is, in a sense, part two. So he said in the first book, Theophilus, lover of God, I dealt with all that Jesus did and taught until the day he was taken up. Right. So until his ascension. And after giving instruction through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen, he presented himself alive to them by many proofs after he had suffered. So he showed them that, I'm not a ghost. I'm not, it's actually me. You remember that the famous scene with Thomas, put your hand in the wound marks and in my side. No, it is me. He ate in front of them. In John's gospel at the side of the lake, he cooked for them as well. So we see all of this, and he says, when they had gathered together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? So even after all of this, they thought that, okay, Jesus is going to come back and restore the kingdom of Israel. Again, kind of, it says this military kind of takeover, of restoring Israel to its former glory when Israelites were ruling themselves and not Rome or anyone else ruling over them. So they still don't get it, right? So remember, this is before Pentecost. So he goes on, while meeting with them, he enjoined them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father about which we have heard me speak. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Right? So you'll be baptized. So he goes, wait, the Holy Spirit's going to come, and then things will be made clearer. And then he said, are you going to restore the kingdom of Israel? Thinking that it's still going to be the military. He said, it's not for you to know the times and seasons that the Father will establish by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, the known world at the time. And we know, of course, that after receiving the Holy Spirit, the apostles went out to different parts of the world to evangelize and bear witness to the power of Christ's love, including, the other apostle, right? The apostle to the Gentiles, St. Paul, was also later, would be at first a persecutor of the church, would become one of his most powerful evangelists. Of course, most of his letters make up a vast majority of the New Testament. All right. And so, and when he had said this, they were looking on. He was lifted up, and a cloud took them from their sight. And while they were looking intently at the sky, as he was going to them, suddenly the two men dressed in white garments stood beside him, said, men of Galilee, why are you looking up at the sky? This Jesus who had been taken up from you into heaven and will return the same way as you and see him going into heaven. Right. And so he ascends before them, says, be prepared for the Holy Spirit to come and be ready for God to unleash his power so you can go be my witnesses before the world. So I think when I think about this passage, first, I think about two things. First of all, in baptism, many of us were, probably infants or children, we were baptized. And so our parents made that promise to God on our behalf, which is not unusual. Sometimes you hear the argument that, you really can't make a decision for Christ till you're old enough, then you actually make the decision yourself. But parents make decisions for their children all the time. They don't wait till they get old enough to decide what to eat, what to wear, where to go to school. So parents take care of their physical needs of their children, and so they also take care of the spiritual needs as well. And so, but those, but when we get older, and again, confirmation again is not a, an older decision. When you're older and more mature, now you can make a decision to be Catholic. No, it's a completion of the sacrament of baptism. It's not an adult or a more mature decision to be Catholic. That's not what confirmation is at all. But the grace that we receive in that baptism empowers us to go forward and to share our faith. You know, and often we miss that connection between baptism and evangelization. You know, when we were baptized, we received the charisms of priest, prophet, and king. You know, and so the priest is the one who offers sacrifice, the king is the one who serves, and the prophet is the one who speaks the word of God, right? The prophet is the one who speaks the word of God. And so that's what Jesus is talking about today. Now, he gave the disciples, of course, a specific mission to go out and to bear witness to his love to the known parts of the world at that time. You know, but all of us, by our baptismal charism, by our baptismal call to holiness, are also called to share and witness to the beauty of our faith as well. And then the psalm is Psalm 47. Psalm 47 is one of the sons of Korah. That Psalms 42 to 49 are the sons of Korah. And this is God mounts his throne to shouts of joy, a blare of trumpets for the Lord. So this is kind of an ascension type of psalm. It makes perfect sense to have this psalm, you know, for the Feast of the Ascension, And then the second reading is from Ephesians, a few verses into the beginning of Ephesians, St. Paul's letter to the folks there at Ephesus. He goes, may the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation resulting in knowledge of him. So I mean, you come to know Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit, who has revealed the wisdom and the knowledge and the awesome power of God in your life. May the eyes of your hearts be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope that belongs to his call. What are the riches of his glory? Not the earthly riches or inheritance of the earth, of course, but the riches of God's grace, the riches of his truth. In accord with the exercise of his great might, which he worked for Christ, raising him from the dead and seating him at the right hand of the heaven. So St. Paul is reminding the people of Ephesus that we have a call. We have a duty, a witness, a responsibility, you know, in that spirit, to not keep the faith to ourselves, but to make Jesus known and to love, to help people have the same experience of the power of Christ's love that we have. You know, and often we're kind of reticent to do that today. You know, we're afraid to share our faith because we think we may be attacked or ridiculed or mocked, or people won't like what we have to say. But St. Paul also talks about speaking the truth in love. Right. That's in Ephesians 4:15. So a few chapters later, he would talk about speaking the truth in love. Again, very, very important. And of course, the gospel is Matthew 28. You know, the very right at the very end, the last few verses of Matthew's gospel, it talks about the 11, of course, because of Judas, of course, was not there. Went to Galilee and to the mountain which the Lord had ordered them. And when they saw him, they worshiped, but they doubted, right? So they worshiped, but they doubted. Even after all the miracles they saw, even after they saw Jesus raise people from the dead, even after he appeared to them in the upper room, and they put they saw Thomas put his hands in the nail marks, and after all of that, they still doubted. So it's no surprise to me that even though there's overwhelming evidence for the existence of God, and that Jesus is truly God, and that people still doubt. Even if the apostles could doubt, people today are going to doubt as well. That's why we need the power of the Holy Spirit and evangelization. All right, Word of God Wednesday. Today on Beacon of Truth, breaking open God's word for the ascension. We'd love to hear from you. 833-288-EW10. That's 833-288-3986.
I was listening to some Afrika Bambaataa today, and I was just kind of feeling it.
Woo! Yeah, Afrika. Well, I haven't listened to that for a while. Good stuff,
so
man.
Good.
Oh, man.
If I go down an East Coast bunny trail, like, I'm in it, and it just consumes the day. I'm like, ooh, I haven't heard this one in a long time.
Yeah, yeah. I love that. Oh, that's awesome. And I love this. It's still got that kind of, like, older feel.
Yeah.
You know, like, actually, this would be more like 70s, I guess, like early, mid kind of.
Yeah, it is probably more feel. Disco flair as disco was phasing out and 80s hip-hop was taking over.
Yeah, exactly. And this is, again, the time of all the sampling and all this stuff going on as well. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so, yeah.
I love one of my favorite stories is the first album the Beastie Boys did. They actually had samples on reel-to-reel. That's tape for you kiddos.
Yeah,
And they had pulled the tape down and had, like, dangled it around a chair and a trophy. Like, the trophy was weighing on the tape, so it, like, slowed down the beats just enough where it was still recognizable of whatever song they were sampling, but it had its own flair, and then it changed the vibe of the song. I was like, man, the things we had to do. Today, you just go click, click, click.
Yeah, exactly. It's a... You know, the technology. See, technology is not always a bad thing. Sometimes
sure.
It helps, create efficiencies and makes life a little easier.
Plus, when the tape snaps, you lose your mind. You think the Wi-Fi being down is a madness? Whew! Get out the pencil and the cassette tape, man.
Oh my goodness! Yes. I love to see those memes sometimes when people will say, you know, like you have a cassette tape and a pencil,
mm-hmm.
and you're like, what's the relationship between these two? And of course. You know right away, but
absolutely.
If you're a kid, like, what? A pencil? And do you write on it? Do you write on the tape? What do you do?
Yeah.
Like, no.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do? Those are always a lot of fun.
Right?
Yeah, great memories. I'm Deacon Howard Burke Sivers, listening to Beacon of Truth, and it's Word of God Wednesday. Break it open, God's Word, for the Ascension, which is one of the solemnities that has been, not all places, but many places, has been transferred to Sunday. So we're going to be doing this Word of God Wednesday, since most of our listening family will be hearing the Ascension readings on Sunday. So we're going to be breaking open God's Word. And there's a beautiful connection with evangelization. You know, how our faith and to prepare for the reception of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, but how our faith leads us to share our faith with others. And sometimes we're reticent to do that. We're afraid to do it. We don't want to do it. You know, the priests and the deacons, they should be doing it. No, all of us need to bear witness to the faith, because this is how we help make Jesus real in the lives of others. We'd love to hear how you share the power of your faith, how you witness to God's love in the spirit of what Jesus is teaching us today before he ascends to the Father. We'd love to hear from you. Give us a call, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288. 3986.
Well, if you missed Women of Grace today, it was Wacky Wednesday, so we've got it covered. Wacky Wednesday, Word of God Wednesday, it's all over the gamut. But today, talking about acupuncture and spiritual therapy, so you can catch that actually 11 Eastern EWTN radio each and every day. But then the encore for this one will be tonight into tomorrow, 3 a.m. On EWTN radio, and you can also check it out on demand through Podcast Central.
All right, my friends, Word of God Wednesday, breaking over God's Word for the Ascension. We just took a look at the readings in the last part of the show from Acts of the Apostles, where Luke is kind of setting the stage for Pentecost here, and the apostles having a discussion with Jesus right before he ascends into heaven, you know, and asked them to be prepared for the Holy Spirit to come upon them and really kind of kickstart things in the life of the church. And we saw Ephesians, the second reading from St. Paul, telling us we can't be afraid to witness to the power of and the truth of our faith and love, of course. And then Matthew 28, the very end of Matthew's gospel, where Jesus says the 11, you know, of course, Judas wasn't there, went up to the mountain, which he had ordered them. And when they saw him, they worshiped, but they doubted. Right. So even after everything they saw, they doubted. Jesus approached them and said, all power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go there, for the famous line, which is often called the Great Commission. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So here we have, explicit about the Trinity, right? That we have to, and that's the form that we have to baptize in, name of the Father and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, not the Creator, Redeemer, Sanctifier. No, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So Jesus here making the Trinity very clear. And not only baptizing, but teaching them to observe all I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, even till the end of the age. Powerful last words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ before he ascends to the Father. And so what does that mean for all of us? We have been baptized, right? And because of that baptismal gift that we receive, we are also called to, not necessarily to baptize formally, but to go out and share our experience of knowing Jesus and sharing that experience with others. We're not forcing people to believe or trying to make people believe or trying to change people's minds or proselytize, none of that at all. But when you are in love with someone, you can't help but talk about them. I mean, how many of us as parents, talk about our kids? You know, oh, look at what he did today, because you're so in love with them. You just can't wait to share the joy that they bring to you, to share that joy with others. Or your spouse, like the way I love the way Ace talks about his wife all the time, or Dr. Marcus Peter, when we were on tour, a couple weeks ago, all he talked about, almost every single moment, he was talking about his wife. I'm like, dang, which is great. I'm not complaining. I mean, that's a beautiful thing. But, and I often say, I wish more guys would look at their wives like the way Ace and Dr. Peter, and even me, and the way we look at our wives and see the important role they play in our lives. And but because we're in love, we're not afraid to share that witness, so we are also called to do that. Why won't we do that with Jesus? Why are we so reticent and so afraid to share the witness of Jesus to others? Just sharing, why are you go to church? Why do you think like that? Why do you believe? Again, you have to give like apologetics and theological defenses. Well, let me speak from my heart. Let me tell you what God has done for me in my life. Let me tell you the difference that Jesus makes in my life every day. That's the kind of conversation we need to have. We're talking about evangelizing and going and making disciples for Jesus. Not disciples for us, but disciples for Jesus. Teaching them all that I have commanded you. Right? Jesus, and John would write later, if we've been hearing this all week in the office of readings or vigils. If you love me, keep my commandments. So the way that we know that we love Jesus is to follow his commandments, right? And follow the teachings of the church, which was founded by Jesus, in matters of faith and morals, right? So faith and morals, where the church teaches definitively on faith and morals, when we follow the teachings of Jesus in the scriptures, and those scriptures are correctly interpreted by the teaching authority to the church, that then we know we're showing our love for Jesus. So it's not just head knowledge, it's heart knowledge as well. And Jesus says, behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age. This is not something we have to do by ourselves, that God is with us the entire time. He's with us in through the sacraments and gives us his grace through the sacraments. He's with us in Eucharistic adoration. Right? He's in the others that are in our lives that are bring us closer to him. He's in the saints, especially the Blessed Mother. And today, of course, is the Feast of Our Lady of Fatima. So there's so many different ways that God stays with us, that we're not alone in this call to share and witness to the beauty of our faith. And would love to hear from you today. This ascension, Jesus gives us the message to go and share the faith. Go and make disciples. Go out and tell people about our love for Jesus. We'd love to hear how you do that today. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Now, one of the things that you may be thinking, okay, so how can someone leaving us, especially someone that we love, how can that be better for us? So when you have a child that leaves for college, you know, and you're so used to the dynamics of the house and having the kids around. All of a sudden, the one of them leaves or either goes into the military or goes off to college. And, like, the dynamics of the house changes. The feel of the house changes because that one child is no longer there. And I embarrassed myself. I remember when Claire left for college and we were having – I forget, it's the first week she was gone. And I was just putting – my mind was just in cruise control. And we were sitting down for dinner. Everyone's there. I said, "Where's Claire?" And it said, "Daddy, Claire went to college." I'm like, "Oh, right. I forgot." I just forgot that. And it felt different with her not being there, you know. We're not talking – Jesus is not talking quite about that kind of experience. But he says, you know, but how can someone leave me? How could they be better for us? That's not better, right? We want that person to stay with us. But Jesus says, "I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away." Right? To your advantage that I go away. You know, it's hard to see that when you have someone that you love that leaves, like going on a long trip or going away to college. How is that better? How is that an advantage to us? Because usually something like that, an event like that is a time of great sadness. But where's Jesus going? He's going to heaven. And remember, we heard in the gospel a few weeks ago that he said he's going there to do what? To prepare a place for us to spend eternity with him forever. Right? Remember he said there are many in my father's house. Or something, I think translated, I left look at the Greek, but translated as mansions, there are many rooms, right? And he's going to prepare a room for us. So in the Old Testament, the high priest entered the Holy of Holies every year to offer sacrifices for their sins and the sins of the people, right? And so Jesus, who is the one true high priest, enters the temple of heaven, the actual Holy of Holies in heaven. The dwelling place of God himself, right? So the temple was a dwelling place of God on earth, particularly in the tabernacle, but Jesus enters into the true temple, which is heaven, the true dwelling place of God. And God enters God's presence by what? Spilling his blood on the cross that makes atonement for the sins of the whole world. He enters into heaven, and then by him entering to heaven, we are allowed to enter into him. Right? And since we have confidence to enter the sanctuary by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us, let us draw our hearts to Christ with full confidence. Right? That's the kind of a take on the reading there from Hebrews. You know, let us have confidence in the power of God's love. Because Jesus goes to prepare a place for us, we have nothing to fear. Right. And like you said before, he said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And we follow Christ in freedom and in trust. We work hard to defeat the weaknesses and temptations of sin in our life. Then we, too, will ascend with him and live with him forever. And the thing is this, we want to bring as many people into that experience of Christ in heaven as possible. And so Christ left work for us to do. Right? He calls each of us through our baptism. Through that reception of the Holy Spirit that leaves that beautiful, indelible mark on our souls, he calls us each to participate in his plan of salvation, right? Jesus did his part on the cross and the resurrection, but he leaves work for us to do, to continue the work that he began, right? And that's what we're called to do. So how do you continue to do the work that Jesus called you to do? As we talk about the ascension today on this Word of God Wednesday, would love to hear from you. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That's actually an important point because we see with the apostles, Jesus, you know, taught them for 3 years. You know, he gave them a straight, okay, and I'm going to leave now. Now it's up to you. I'm going to send you, the Father and I are going to send you the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will be with you and I will be with you to the end of the age. You're not in this alone, but you know, I'm going to ask you to continue the work that I started, you know? And so they, you know, the apostles, not successors, the bishops and stuff, but that also leaves work for us, you know, it leaves work for us to do, you know? And so we can't be reticent and afraid to share our faith with others. You know, we want Jesus left work for us to do to participate in his life and bringing people to him. So we are called to help build that beautiful kingdom of God here on earth. What is that kingdom? It's a kingdom of justice, of love, and of peace. So the apostles' mission is now ours, right? To carry the message of Jesus to the whole world, right? Would love to hear how you do that today on this Word of God Wednesday, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. James is calling from St. Louis, Missouri, listening on Covenant Radio Network. James, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Good afternoon, Beacon. How are you?
I'm doing well. Great to hear from you today.
All right. Well, I've only called in once before, and I only spoke for a minute or so, but to share my story. And you had me thinking about sharing my story about how God has asked us to go out and proclaim the word and things like that. And I just wanted to share that in my experience, as a carpenter, I work in construction. And, the construction environment has a certain reputation for being more worldly than godly, you know. And in working in construction, in my experience, I'm really only the man of faith that proclaims it and then defends it. And, because I work with a lot of guys like, oh, yeah, I'm Catholic. And it's like, well, why don't you behave like a Catholic? You know, and I ask that hard question, and I defend the faith, and there's a lot of, like, catechizing that I have to kind of do, and I have to constantly keep coming back for more answers for myself because I need to share it with these people. And so it's really like, God put me in the trenches to help these people, and it takes a long time because they're so far from God's light that just me putting my foot down and saying, you know, that is wrong, and trying to prove that there is a moral good in the world, it's difficult because they've never seen that because they've grown up in the world. You know, their parents were probably in construction. They were probably away from the church. And so, you know, God really put me in this position to try and share that and help these people. And I'll tell you, it's difficult some days. But I just wanted to share that story with you as a witness of taking out and spreading God's word.
Well, I appreciate that, James. That's great. And I wish there were more people like you out there. You know, because think about it. If there was a Muslim working on that construction site, you know, and someone said something that, you know, even innocently offended the Muslim, oh, the Muslim person would say something right away, or the Buddhist or something like that. And you notice, and I made this point before, James, on television, you know, when they mock God, they don't mock Buddha, they don't mock Confucius, they don't mock Muhammad because they're not God. You know, but they used foul language, you know, mocking the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you know, mocking the God that died on the cross for us. They use his name in vain or as a curse. And when we hear that in the workplace, we're reticent to stand up for Jesus. Oh, you know, I really wish you wouldn't use God's name like that. You know, I that's the God that I love and I worship. And, you know, it's like, you know, if you talk about my wife that way, if you said something about her, I'd be upset. It's like that. But this is God. You know, and so I really appreciate if you wouldn't do that. I mean, why can't we just do that? Why are we so afraid? If other faiths aren't afraid to do it, why are we so afraid? So. So I love the fact that you're not afraid to stand up again, not in getting someone's face, not trying to start anything. But for example, you talked to your friend when you said, you know, oh, I'm Catholic, you know, and you said, really? Ooh. I mean, I would have been like, oh, really? I never would have known that you were Catholic. You know, what do you mean? Well, Catholics usually don't do the things that you're doing. That's what kind of threw me off. I would never have guessed that you were Catholic, you know, that kind of thing. And what are you doing there? You're not embarrassing him. Maybe you're trying to bring them to a dialogue. Like maybe they'll come back and later and say, hey, wait a minute, what did you mean by that? You know, what are you talking about? Like, say, well, you said you were Catholic. What does that actually mean to you? When you say Catholic, what does that actually mean? You know, and just, again, you're entering into a dialogue. And through that dialogue, you're helping to have a deeper sense of the presence of God and who people, and how God works in your life and how powerful God is in your life, and how much he means to you. And that's really the beginning of how we evangelize, how we share our faith with others, sharing our experience of our relationship with God with others. Does that sound like that's a plan, James?
Yeah, I find a lot of the times that in a group, they'll kind of feel the need to joke around and kind of make and poke fun. But when I work on with someone one-on-one, and it's just me and another guy, they'll actually kind of open up. You know, there is that curiosity because I think deep down they do want to believe, but because the culture is so anti-Christian and it's so anti-Jesus that in a group they don't want to be seen as, oh, well, this, I'm not courageous enough to kind of stand up and say, maybe I am a little curious. Maybe I do want to get to know the Lord a little better. So there's, you have to have a lot of patience and understanding that the time will come. And like you said, you have to be quick to defend the faith. And then you also have to be ready for an open dialogue. And you don't want to push people away. And you know, but, you know, the guy that said he was Catholic, it was like, I really talked to him. I was like, well, you know, what do you remember about the faith? And he's like, well, you know, I went to Catholic school and I went to church growing up. And I was like, well, you know, so why'd you stop? And he goes, I don't know. I just kind of stopped going. It's like, well, you know, it's, you know, one thing to be baptized in the cradle Catholic. And it's like, but it's another thing entirely to get to know the faith. I'm like, there's so much like wonder and beauty. And it's like, and you're lucky enough that you've kind of already started that journey. And it's like, at any point you can just kind of continue to pick up your cross and follow him. And, you know, that kind of like really resonated with him because I guess he had never thought about like taking his faith seriously. And I imagine he probably, you know, like most kids, they don't understand it very well, or they just kind of get fallen out, or they meet some kid that tells them like, that's not cool, man, you know, or whatever. So, yeah, no, I appreciate you letting me talk to you today, Beacon, and sharing my story and giving me those words of wisdom to go forth and spread the word.
You know, you're not trying to over-intellectualize the faith. You're not trying to convince them anything. You're not like, you know, make him feel bad, you know, putting him down because he doesn't practice faith. The whole goal when you're talking to someone in that situation is in the back of your mind, you're thinking, how do I get this person in front of me to want to listen to more of what I have to say? That's the key. So how do you get them to come back for more? You're not going to, you're not going to give them all the answers in just a 5-minute conversation, but you want to give them enough to have them think, wow, that was really interesting. He gave me some things I never thought about before, you know, and then when they go back and think about it, they come back and say, look, you know, we talked about, let me ask you this. And now they want to go deeper. That's the key to effective evangelization. How do I get the person in front of me to want to listen to more of what I have to say? And a comment came in and said, I found that some people don't speak up because they think that they're turning, quote unquote, turning the other cheek by not speaking up. Well, here's the thing. You know, when Jesus talks about turning the other cheek, he was using a rabbinical teaching technique called hyperbole. That's when you exaggerate a point in order to make a point. So Jesus says, you know, when somebody takes your cloak, give them your thing. I mean, obviously, if someone, you know, you wouldn't do that in real life. What is he talking about here? He's saying, don't respond. If someone does something to you, you don't respond in the same way. So if someone hits you, you respond with love, not with violence. That's what Jesus is saying. For example, and Jesus gives us this perfect example during the in the Garden of Gethsemane and during the trial before at the house of Caiaphas. You know, he said, you talk to the high priest that way, and he began to slap him, and he was punched and mocked and ridiculed. He did not respond back with violence. He didn't respond back with anger and animosity, right? Jesus responded, well, he didn't say or do anything, but Jesus's point is, you respond with love. You don't respond in the same way. When someone does some evil to you, you don't respond with evil. That's what he means by, you know, turning the other cheek. You know, it's actually a little play on exaggerating a point in order to make a point. We always respond with love. So when people attack me, when people yell at me, when they curse at me, whatever they want to do, that's fine. I don't take it personally. Because what I hear is, I'm hurting, please help me. Or I'm lost, please show me the way. Right? And so I respond with that kind of mentality. The person's, because, you know, the person that's yelling or screaming, that may be the only way they know how to share and articulate what's in their heart. Maybe that's just the way they just know. I'm just frustrated, and this is how I'm gonna yell. So I never take anything like that personally. We always want to respond with patience, with humility, with generosity, and with love. And no one is as generous as our
our Heavenly Father, whose dives et misericordiae rich in mercy. All right, tomorrow, my friends, Beacon of Truth playlist episode, we're going to take a look at The Grand Illusion by the band Styx. Great, great song. All right, remember, you can stream today's show and follow all of the EWTN radio content by visiting Podcast Central at EWTN.com/radio. And until we're together again, my friends, may Almighty God bless you, keep you, and protect you. The Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.